This is St. Pete X, affectionately known as SPX. SPX brings you St. Pete's brightest business people, civic leaders, and citizens who share their insight and expertise, as well as their love of our great city. SPX is presented by the St. Petersburg Group and by St. Pete's most effective marketing agency, Big C. Browse to bigc.co to see their work. Now enjoy the conversation.
Conversation about hookers and cocaine. Back to that.
So back to the hookers. You know,
it was. It really is amazing how quickly it came because Central Avenue was all strip joints.
Really,
there were probably six or eight of them between downtown and up to say where the brewery is.
And what year would this have been?
This would have been early '80s.
'80s.
Yeah.
So they changed the law then, right? Now you know there's no strip joints there essentially now.
Yep.
So they pushed them all up to Largo or whatever.
But it was, I mean, I grew up here and I'm not that old, and it was strip joints and hookers. And I mean, where Starbucks is, 4th and 5th, and there's a cool little lake right behind it.
Fourth and ninth,
or 4th and 5th, right in that whole area. We would try on Fridays and Saturday nights, we're in high school. And you either tried to sneak out to Albert Wooded and get onto the airfield, or you tried to sneak downtown. There's nothing downtown, not even Moon Underwater yet. And by the time you got to ninth, if you made it that far, cops would stop you, turn you around. And then we'd try and sneak through Snell Isle. Cops would stop you and turn you around. Just wasn't, I mean, there was nothing. So Moon Underwater was truly the first, and that was 93. But there was no place to eat dinner. Wow. And so downtown was just a ghost town, and that's how far it came in such a short period of time.
Amazing. So the Vinoy then was fenced off, a couple openings in it. People just went and claimed their rooms probably and stayed there. And then you guys, when you got in there, you felt safe?
The high school thing was to try and sneak through one end of the Vinoy, typically this end where they're building the new condos, and just run all the way through it. Out the back. And
so you never actually went into the Vinoy?
Oh, no, we went in.
You went in. Okay.
Just run right through the lobby, all the way through the whole thing. And those two, only one of the towers was there. So there's lots of open land.
Interesting.
And that's how far it came in a short period of time.
And the big thing is, you know, there's, when you're growing out the city, obviously Beach Drive is flourished now and the pier, and then you almost see as kind of dead spots that you have to conquer. So the corner of Fifth Ave North and sort of 4th Street in that area is a big power grid there. And there's sort of a dead spot, right?
Yes.
And then, like you said, going up 4th Street, kind of a dead spot. And then you got the Outback came in and then Chipotle came in and they're sort of starting to squeeze in there. And eventually you feel like when the more developed spots come together with the more developed spots and close out the dead spots, then it really flourishes.
It needs to come together. You can clearly see, especially, so we built a restaurant right there called Suzu. And I drive back through that neighborhood, and that lake right there, right behind the Banyan Tree Hotel.
Yep.
I don't remember the name of it, and it's no bigger than this building. That was one of the centers of town in the 1920s and 30s, and it became a drug haven. And now whatever the term is for those old houses, they're getting bought back.
Cracker House.
And you can see them one by one being refurbished, and it's just a matter of time before all that gentrifies and 4th Street works its way up.
Yeah, and people are starting to buy this. A friend of mine, Quint Nordstar, who does the tropical smoothies around town, he's buying space up in North 4th Street, he's going to put a tropical smoothie up there, and then that's all connecting up to the Carillon area, which makes sense, right? Because that's a nice area as well. So
yeah.
Obviously, where you're positioned, right there in the Deuces and that sort of 20 block, I feel like Central is sort of the next logical. I think once 4th Street gets all the way developed up, then I think moving towards the beaches along Central.
That'll be interesting to me because it's an awful long distance, but Central's already made it to the 20s and almost to the 30s, and it's just boutique restaurants so far.
Right.
But that's a good way to get people to drive that far.
Right.
The city's got a really neat project where they want to connect the Deuces to Central Avenue.
Right.
And I think I don't know if it's funded yet, but I know it goes before.
That's the big art space.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're going to rent out studio space. And,
yep.
Yeah.
And
I think it is.
The whole streetscape. I mean, the plan is awesome, and they want to connect the old rail line, Pinellas Trail, and make kind of 5th and 22nd that center of gravity down there.
Yeah.
So, but it is. We've only been there 3 years, and in that 3 years, it has changed just monumentally.
Yeah, still time to get in, I think. There's still some land around there.
It's just getting expensive.
It's getting expensive quick. So 34th will be one of those big hurdles to conquer before it really starts spreading up into the 30s, 40s, and 50s and stuff.
Yep.
And it'll probably have to go there first before it starts coming back from the beaches.
Yeah.
So it'll always
down
be
4th Street. The same thing's happening straight on North 4th Street. So, once you get past the hospital district, it's we've got folks that live down there that that wouldn't have moved down there a year ago, two years ago.
Yeah, we live north of Crescent Lake, and we're now they've got David Weekly did. I think we bought a lot there, and we're building a house.
Right.
We sold it within 2 days of putting it on the market before we'd even torn down the little house that was there already. So it's just and from that front door, there's 22 houses. David Weekly did 11. James Landers and Aspen did a bunch.
Right.
And it's it's those kind of big square mini McMansion type houses, which you lose a little bit of that character, but it's in pockets. Maybe that's not such a bad thing. Tell me, what are your thoughts on gentrification? Do you think is there a way to do it right? Is it always bad, or is it nice because it's a stabilizing effect?
So I think it's a great thing to gentrify. I think what's happening on 4th Street is awesome. I think what's happening in the industrial district is awesome. I think it's organic.
Right.
And the city, I think, became very aware of it and started to support it. The arts project that's going on was a great vision from the city in terms of, look what is happening. If we don't support this, it's going to die.
Right.
And it would. The industrial district is governed by statutes and city code that is nothing but built for an industrial district.
Right.
And when the city comes in and decides that we need to put in better lighting, we need to put in sidewalks that don't exist, I think that's what supports it. And they have. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited about what is going to happen to the street that's in front of our building that was built just for 18-wheelers.
Hmm. And now they're talking about the independent business corridor as well, where they want certain blocks of Central to be only locally owned, sort
yes.
of non-franchise or local franchise.
Yeah. Again, I give credit to the small business entrepreneurs, but it's interesting that I come from the corporate world. I come from Outback Steakhouse, and Outback very decidedly wrote off downtown St. Pete.
Hmm.
And when we looked at, and this was part of one of my areas, and when we looked at, there are 89 Outbacks in the state of Florida now. They're in some small places.
Right.
But they truly looked at downtown St. Pete and said, we can't compete with the locals. And now the city comes along and says, you know what, it's pretty neat that developed. Mm-hmm. Let's preserve that.
So kind of got lucky.
Yeah, you could say that, or you could just say that there is an entrepreneurial spirit.
Right.
And the city looked at it and said, we should be a part of this. So these are the things to me that make St. Pete unique.
So how do you feel the balance is right now with, obviously we have some great restaurants. You're a part of some of those restaurants. We've got some great housing that's being built, the Hermitage right across the street from where we're filming. Down obviously Beach and all up and through 3rd and 4th South and North. So there's some high rent, we'll call it, or more upper scale accommodation.
Right.
Where do you feel the money is going to come from to be able to afford those rents and afford those nice meals? Do you think we have that here already? Or do you think, obviously from economic development standpoint, do you think we have some work to do on?
Oh, I think we have some work to do. I think truly For me, I think that the school system is probably the most important,
mm-hmm.
and it is very interesting that we've had this explosion in the past decade of small schools, both parochial and secular,
mm-hmm.
and so there's a really good network of smaller private schools that are not really expensive. I think the county has some work to do on the public school system,
yeah.
but. The private sector has really, truly, I was born and raised in the military, lived all over the place. And I find it very interesting that the private sector, however you define that in the school system, has looked at this and said, it's a neat place. We need better schools. Right. We'll just do it on our own.
Yeah. And so, our kids go to Montessori school down in the south side, and we loved it. And we're already
fantastic.
Up in the second grade, and it's been a fantastic experience. Kind of the same logic goes with the real estate gap. Closing those with opportunity. Do you think that we need to do that with education? Because even though those schools, which are still, as far as total population wise, only servicing a very tiny fraction of the people, kids, and mostly those who can afford it, obviously to close that gap, we have to do some of that work in public schools as well.
Yes. I think we start with the fact that the city was able to preserve really neat parts of its geography. Mm-hmm. There's find another city in Florida that owns 2 miles of waterfront property. Yeah. That is not unique. That's far beyond amazing. So okay, now look at how many city parks the city has and how much the city over time was able to preserve. And then you couple that with the infrastructure it was able to bring in, like USF St. Pete. USF St. Pete was when I went to college back in the Stone Age, it was nothing more than a place that you could pick up some summer credits.
Right.
Now it's a real honest part of the university system. It's its own real school, and St. Pete College has grown the same way. So the public infrastructure, I think, has grown tremendously in the past 15 years and made it very inviting to folks that want to move into the area or open businesses in the area.
What are your thoughts on the place that the Pier plays in St. Pete?
So, all right, the pier to me is the crown jewel. The 2 miles of waterfront is the meat of it. Mm-hmm. Am I for or against the pier? I grew up with it. I've known it for 40 years. I really think that in the beginning, I was a little bit leery until I saw what it could be. My family is at the pool, at the dog beach. I like to go sit and work and watch the planes take off down at Albert Witted. I mean, we use that 2 miles more than I thought we would. And I think that pier will really add to the essence of what that area is.
So why were you leery? Let's talk about what were your reservations just in general about that, the spend or
that's what it really was is if we're going to spend that much public money, how wide of a swath of our own population is really going to use it?
Right.
I had a restaurant right on the corner of Beach and Second, and so people would ask me all the time, and my question back to them would be, tell me the last time you went to the pier. And I didn't get a lot of positive answers. And I started to think, and so to me, that the pier itself is less useful than that massive parking lot that is probably the most prime piece of real estate in all of Pinellas County.
Right.
So the fact that something is being done with that, and that point sticking out to the south, I forgot it has a name, that's where the value is to me.
Right. Cool. Well, and then obviously tourists, right? So most of the major cities have some focal point that is sort of a thing that people go see. And so that drives people down to Beach Drive. When they come into town, it's sort of, let's go downtown, let's go walk Beach Drive. And of course, with the plans, assuming that things go well with the Rowdies, then that corridor will be expanded. So it'll be a nice walking path, I believe is the Pennant, right past the stadium, all the way through the Dolly to connect all those. And I think you're right. I think that does round out the sort of total package.
The best footage that I've ever seen selling St. Pete is from the blimp for the race. When you see the blimp just a couple hundred yards offshore, and you see the shoreline, and you see the pools on top of the high rises down there,
yeah.
And you clearly see the park system, and you see these cars coming around an airport that's right on the water, that to me sells us.
So one final question about the pier. So you talked about obviously, if there's is there a value to having it? There's obviously a value to having it. How much value? What are the ingredients? What are the sort of usability factors of the pier that you feel are critical to making it worth having?
To me, the value of the pier is the iconic nature of it. So if that's one of the parts that makes us stand out in your mind when you're deciding on where to take your family for a vacation, that more usable. But when you think of Orlando, you think of Disney. That's it. What else does Orlando? But you can clearly, you think of Orlando and you see this picture. So when you think I'm going to go to the beach, or I'm going to take my family and head to the place in the water, if that picture of the pier pops,
right.
I think that's the biggest value to us. It is, and what they're designing, it becomes much more usable. It becomes much more pedestrian. It becomes much more of a destination for the citizens of St. Pete.
Right.
With better offerings aside from a bait shop that it was before, but I think the ultimate value is that iconic picture that's going to come out of it.
As long as they keep the terrifying pelicans that scare the kids, then we'll be okay.
Right.
That's half the fun going there, I think, just watching the kids run. So along those lines, then, do you feel like we might have gone too usable? I.e., you know, we think about something like the St. Louis Arch or the Space Needle in Seattle or some of those things that are kind of a city's kind of known for. Do you think we need more of that potentially to make it iconic, or do you think just the usability and the big sloping?
No, I don't. I think that what we've done is more than enough. I think we approached the edge of what we really need to do to make that piece of us iconic. We're not surrounded by a water park. We're far enough away from that Disney element.
Right.
But we have this great hotel system that works its way all the way down to these really cool boutique hotels. And I think that's the kind of thing that they're coming down for. So I don't think it says Florida. It doesn't say what Orlando is selling. Nothing right. wrong with it, but that doesn't seem like what we're going for. I think I'm pretty happy with the design now.
Good hotel room, a lot of beds, a lot of nice restaurants, good reasons to come down, kind of a good triple threat to get the tourists to fill the place. So let's talk a little bit about Suzu. You're working, I know Ryan
Griffin
is involved.
Pat Marston. Suzu is one of our partners, Pat Marston. It's his dream. And we really looked at it and said, St. Pete will expand. It's not there yet. Back to the idea of gentrification. So it's really on the edge of what is downtown St. Pete. And it's a next generation restaurant. It's high end sushi and Japanese cuisine. So it doesn't fit the absolute mainstream. But it's a really, really, really unique experience.
About a year ago, a gift certificate landed on my desk and I went and checked it out, and I've been back many times since.
Thank you very much.
It's a fantastic place. So
it's getting there.
It's good. Yeah. Cool. And then obviously a little other semi-successful restaurant called Bella Brava
that is
blowing the lid off things right now.
Yeah, they have. So we, Ty and I have been, Ty is our brewer and our chef. We've been gone now for about 3 years, but they have continued the path.
Yeah.
It has gotten bigger and busier and better, in my opinion. And really a credit to the folks that took it over and run it now. But also a credit to the city and what Beach Drive has been able to become. I don't think Beach Drive is done yet. It needs to evolve. I think Bella Brava will be a part of it. Casis will be a part of it. But there's more to come out of Beach Drive than what it is right now.
You may be interested to know that I actually, our consulting group, it's called the St. Petersburg Group. It's a group of local executives, and we're working on, this is one of the projects that we're working on, but we actually just got signed a partnership with the Chamber and Visit St. Pete Clearwater to brand Beach Drive. And so we're going to be launching beachdrive.com.
Very cool.
Beachdrive.com in probably about a month.
That's awesome.
So yeah, just because, you know, no one has really put an overarching online destination to just know what's going on there and get to know the restaurants. We're hoping to put a live cam up, so you always have a live view of Beach Drive. Obviously involve all the establishments there to have a profile page with links to their menus and to their websites and that sort of thing. So we're pretty excited.
That's awesome.
For that as well. And
Beach Drive is just awesome.
And then we'll have a peer project coming after that too, which may end up where peer stuff comes out.
Well, very cool. It's about time.
Why are you not packing up and leaving St. Pete? Why are you continuing to open businesses here?
So my family from my parents to my wife and my kids, and we have been here, or I have been here now for on and off for 40 years, and I've enjoyed watching St. Pete become what it is today. And it's really, in my opinion, all happened in the past 10 years. And when you look at go back 15 years, and my wife and I were just getting started, and my job allowed me to live anywhere in the state of Florida, and initially we did live somewhere else. We lived in Brandon. And when you come back and you drive around, there's too much to offer. I enjoy driving through Snell Isle. I enjoy going and hanging out out by Albert Whitted. I can keep going and keep going.
Right.
And St. Pete still has that small town feel to it. It's not, but it still really has that small town feel to it. And it's back to what we talked about with preserving the mom and pops and the small entrepreneurial places. and the storefronts that are owned by neighbors. And that was, that's really, I guess, probably a big part of what's kept us here.
So one little known fact, since you have three daughters,
right.
Sue, if you, once you get over the 22nd Ave North Bridge onto
right.
Snell Isle,
right.
you can follow that. It's almost 5 miles of uninterrupted road, which when we had our babies, we'd put them in the car and drive them. And, you know, when the stopping, you know, stopping at stop lights and stop signs would always sort of wake them up a little bit. And you could go a solid, if you, nice cruising pace, 10, 15 minutes before you'd hit anywhere you had to stop, which is actually rarer than you would think it's going to be.
Now that I think about it, it really is.
You can make it all the way up to the road. It stops, you turn right to get to the finger streets that have the state names on them.
Yeah.
So you can make it all the way there without stopping.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. So it's, I would challenge anyone to find a longer, maybe the road that goes, runs up by Whedon is,
right.
you know, that's what, 3 miles maybe, but yeah, for, especially for nice views and seeing the nice houses and stuff. So
I've thought about that. Yeah. Mine are, my oldest is about to start driving.
So she can, yeah, might be useful when soon when they have a
yeah.
few years, hopefully when they have a
place where they can, yeah. Place where she can hit a couple curbs maybe.
Yeah. So families, why is St. Pete the place to raise a family?
So for me, it is still that small town feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's still that fact that we have suburbs in the middle of urban areas, that you can still have that quiet family street that you live on where the kids can play outside and you're not that far from X, and that being everything that you need. The downtown to me has burgeoned into what is a downtown, what is a traditional, it reminds me of being in small town North Carolina, except mm-hmm. it's on the water.
Right.
So these are the elements that to me make that experience something that I want my kids to be a part of. All the basics are taken care of in St. Pete. We feel safe. We feel secure. We feel sound. We feel like that the city is run more than well enough that all of our needs are met. And then there is that element of St. Pete has defining elements to it. St. Pete has, in addition to the 2 miles of waterfront property that we talked about, in addition to Beach Drive, it has big elements that make it its own, like Duncan McClellan and the Chihuly Museum, and it has its own soccer team, and it has its own baseball team, to all the way down to when I want something for my anniversary or birthday, it's very easy to go find unique things because we have this giant artist district that is entrepreneurial in nature, and so those are the defining things that keep us here.
So I'd love to hear your thoughts on the beer scene in St. Pete's. We have a site called the Brewery Bay, which we have a lot of beer lovers here, and obviously there's been a ton of them that's blossomed, I should say.
Right.
So, what do you feel like? You know, it's come. Where's it going? I'd love just to wax about that.
Sure. So the brewery scene in the state of Florida is young. It is one of the last states to really blossom. But what makes it unique is there's been this trend in the dining industry for fresh caught, farm raised, local, keep going as far as you want. And the truth is that really that's hard to do, and there's not a lot of that. Cows, yeah. There are no cows living in the city of St. Petersburg, and truthfully, we don't grow rhubarb anywhere around here, and we don't make vodka. We do now,
right.
But. Brewing became really, to me, coming from the restaurant business, one of the first parts of the human consumption food chain that was really able to say it's sourced local, it's made local. And in the state of Florida, it really took off in Tampa, more so than any other place. And that germination happened in St. Petersburg as well. So we currently have a little over 200 breweries in the state of Florida, 205 or so. Of those, more than a quarter are in the greater Tampa Bay area. And in St. Pete alone, we have about 10 now. And that becomes its own self-fulfilling prophecy, which is really cool. We have Doug at Cycle, who really is a true artist.
Mm-hmm.
We have Chris at Greenbench, who really is making specific beers and really getting known around the country. And then Ty at Three Daughters. And so the self-fulfilling part is that we're growing brewers, and it's an industry that you don't just go and learn anywhere. You need somebody like the guys that I just mentioned to study under.
Yeah.
So now over the next X amount of time, and that X amount of time isn't a lot, these brewers will decide they're entrepreneurial, and some of them will, and do it on their own. So I think that that the age of the time of building big breweries is done, but the more boutique micro breweries, I think that I will not be surprised when the city of St. Pete has 25 of them.
So you think there's plenty of room to support
Absolutely.
I guess it wouldn't be a bad thing if St. Pete was known for that.
Yes, I think so. I absolutely think so. It's artistry. It is. It's nothing more than what's happening in the Warehouse Arts District.
And what's neat is, and this may be just new for me, and I know in other cities they've done this, but actually it's a family affair. You know, you guys have all the great things to do, and Green Bench has the grassy space. And,
yep.
And people are bringing their families and hanging out for the afternoon. So.
That was it is interesting to me how things get recycled over time. Like parachute pants will come back eventually, I guess. Or mullets. But in days of old, it was churches and breweries. Those were the gathering points.
Right.
And I think that in the United States, that has really been looked at and held close to the cloth in that we need to build gathering points. And so the breweries that you see today, they physically look like a bar, but they feel, I think that the industry has done a great job of making them feel more like gathering points.
That. Sure. And what do you think about, looks like there's starting to be some roots growing for spirits as well.
Absolutely. Huh? Yeah. The third distillery, American Freedom is they're distilling, but they're just starting to do some parties, and they're right down the street from us. Really, really neat group of guys.
Are they in the Tesla building? There's one going in there, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. That's them. So yeah. Now we have three in the state of, or three in downtown St. Pete.
Right.
And that's a much harder industry, much harder to learn how to do.
Right.
But the fact that we have three, I would bet you they're less than 10 in the state of Florida right now. And we have three of them in a rock's throw in distance. So I think that's pretty neat.
Any vision for the future for what's next for you? You've gone through, obviously, in the food space, moved into craft beer, and you seem to have a build them and turn them over and move on to something else?
So the cidery has got a ways there. The brewery's got a ways to go. Mm-hmm. We have built a cidery. It's in its infancy. The tasting room, I over the next year and a half, I really want to work on the tasting room. I think it can be much bigger. The brewery itself has, we're at about maybe 20% of the capacity that it can do. So we have a lot of work to do there. And then the cidery is really my big project. And so I think this one's going to be a while. There's too much fun to be had in doing this. But we've reached the state of Florida. I think we're going to make it into the islands. We've made it into Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. We've made it into Brazil. And just small footprints. But this has, I think this is the pinnacle of my hospitality career. Will there be something next? I don't know yet. This one has the vision for what this was going to be. And five years ago when we started is completely different now. Mm. And there's just a lot more. There's a lot more to conquer than I originally thought there would be.
So it's inevitable that as you grow and congratulations on the expansion and reach that you're getting distribution, you're going to start getting some calls from some deep pocketed people that, you know, we saw that happen to a couple of the breweries in Tampa, mm-hmm. and that may happen here.
It will. We've received a few calls already.
Yeah.
So our investors are all friends and family, and the vast majority of them live here in the neighborhood. My wife and I thoroughly enjoy what we do, and we make more than enough money for supporting our lifestyle, and we have a really good time doing this. So for us, we are probably. I mean, I can't think of anything that I would want to do over the next 5 years. Will we look for more growth? Yes. Will we need some more investment? Yes. If somebody came along and offered us $1 billion, I think we'd seriously consider it. Short of that, we really enjoy what we're doing and have no intention of doing anything else.
That's great to hear. All right. So finish up. What would you love to see St. Pete bring in? And just, you know, something you've sort of said, whether it be an event, whether it be an industry, whether it be, you know, something you think that would round out St. Peter's, anything that jumps out at you that it'd be cool to see more of here.
That's interesting. I think, I think a lot about water tourism. Mm-hmm. I would like to see now that this is starting to grow, this downtown area, and more hotels are looking at coming in. I don't think that we're a cruise ship port by any means,
right?
But there aren't a lot of destinations for folks with boats anywhere from 20 feet to however big, 80 right. feet. And I think that with what the pier will end up looking like and downtown St. Pete is growing into, I think there's room for water tourism. I am extremely interested to see what happens with the 80 acres that the Rays are built on right now.
Right.
And I think that St. Pete will grow into more of just an arts district and more of an arts destination. So with Chihuly being closer to the arts district and with what Duncan McClellan is growing into and with what Mark Ayling is building down there, mm-hmm. I really think that, and it seems like the city is more focused on growing that arts district into something that is more than the place that you and I go to look for
right.
wedding gifts and sure. anniversary presents into. That's part of our vacation when we go. So I'm very interested in how the arts district grows.
So arts, great beer, great food, great waterfront, not a bad place to
no.
not a place
yes,
to live.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So final question, just since you have deep roots in the community, anybody that's doing some work in St. Pete now that has a new business, has a new restaurant, has a new effort that you'd love to give some exposure to, or even just show some appreciation for.
If I had to pick somebody who is changing the landscape and the fabric of St. Petersburg, I would probably pick Beth Houghton. Beth runs the free clinic and the St. Petersburg Free Clinic. And when you look at, it's not incredibly hard comparatively. Stick with me on the point. It's not incredibly hard to raise money to build a pier, to make things that are iconic or to support that what's growing. But to me, it is how do you make sure the infrastructure for what happens behind all this keeps pace? And the free clinic has been around since the 20s and has always done great work. But Beth has now grown it into a much bigger, more important part of our society in terms of taking care of those amongst us who need some help. And it has branched off into medical. It has branched off into food in terms of pack-a-sack lunches. It has just gotten, it is now weaved vines into a lot of different areas of how do we take care of a small town that is really a big city. So my shout out would be to Beth Houghton.
Cool. All right. I think that's good. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Feeling all right?
That was awesome.
You made it to the end of another great episode. For show notes, head to stpete.co to the show notes page, which includes links to all the resources mentioned in the show, as well as quotes and key insights from the show and information about the guest and the host. Thanks again to our sponsor, Big C. Head to Big C, that's BIGSEA.co to check out their work. And if you like what you heard, make sure to share this episode on social media and leave a comment. See you next time.